From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to North America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, ghost hunting we go with Joshua Warren. Get ready, because he's taking us on one heck of a trip. Hey, by the way, I am pleased to announce that on the heels of one of our most successful ratings ever, the network and I have reached agreement on a very long-term contract extension to set me on my personal goal of taking this program to 2012 and beyond. Many thanks tonight to our premier radio executives, Art Bell, and especially you for continuing to make Coast to Coast AM the highest rated overnight talk show in the world. I'm looking forward to many, many years ahead and keeping this program going, and we'll be doing it together. So thank you to all of you. President Bush, on an unannounced visit to Afghanistan, vowed to stand by this emerging democracy and not cut and run in the face of rising violence. And he also predicted that Osama bin Laden would be captured despite a futile five-year hunt. He says, "I'm confident that he will be brought to justice." Bush, standing alongside Afghan President Hamid Karzai, outside the presidential palace. "It has been nearly 5 years that we've been hunting Osama bin Laden, and so far nothing." In Iraq, a defiant Saddam Hussein admitted that he ordered the trial of 148 Shiites, eventually executed in the 1980s. But he insisted that doing so was legal because they were suspected in an assassination attempt against him. This is what he said. "Where is the crime? Where is the crime?" Saddam kept screaming, standing before the panel of five judges. Now listen to this story, especially those of you who fly planes a lot. A stewardess caused panic by repeatedly screaming, "We're going to crash," when a packed plane hit turbulence. The Virgin flight hit bad weather 3 hours into a journey from England to Las Vegas. Some passengers were sick and others thrown from their seats as luggage, drinks, and trays were tossed all over the place. You can just imagine that. Those using the toilet at the time were stuck in the cubicle while others prayed and cried. And their ordeal was intensified by the screaming stewardess. A passenger by the name of Paul Gibson told the Daily Mirror in England that she began screaming every time the plane shook. She shouted at the top of her voice, "We're going to crash! We're going to crash!" The unnamed woman in her mid-20s also lobbed sick bags across the cabin when poor passengers screamed for more. Crew members say it was the worst turbulence they had encountered. Interesting email in from James. Listen to this one. "Hey, George, my name is James. I just wanted to tell you on a brief story about Don Knotts. I live in a small town near Chattanooga, Tennessee, called Ringgold, Georgia. Anyway, I was taking my daughter over to spend a night with a friend on Saturday, February 26. After dropping her off, I stopped at a truck stop to look at some CB radios that they had inside. George, as I was looking in the glass case at the radios, I spotted a photograph of Andy Griffith, Don Knox, and Ronnie Howard, taken when the series was on. They were sitting on a tire swing, and Don was waving his hand in the air as if to say goodbye. Well, I didn't think much about it, although it did bring back a lot of fond memories of the show. Anyway, I went home, and my son says to me, 'Hey, Dad, did you hear who just died?' I said, 'No, who?' And he said, 'Don Knotts.' This made me think of the photo that I had not seen some 15 minutes earlier. Needless to say, Don Knotts truly was saying goodbye." How about that? That's a great story. Now, in a moment, we are going to talk about ghosts on the Queen Mary. This is a ship 70 years old, docked at Long Beach, California. Strange things are going on with the Queen Mary. We'll talk with Erica Frost, who spends a lot of time on that ship, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Erica Frost has always been intrigued by the paranormal world. As a young child, she was able to make contact with the other world. As she grew, she had an increasing sense of her gift and started a journey into the astral realm through astral projection. Through mediation and meditation, she has developed a strong connection and understanding of the beautiful world of angels and fairies, in which she communicates with card readings. Erica is now using her gift aboard the Queen Mary to make contact with the ghosts that inhabit the ocean liner via Friday and Saturday night, which is called a dinner and a ghost tour events. Through this tour, you'll learn firsthand how to acknowledge and communicate with the many different spirits aboard, as well as developing an understanding of the science behind the dead. She's with us this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Hello, Erica. How are you?
Hi, George. I'm great. Thank you.
Aren't you afraid of being on that ship?
No, not at all. It's actually quite interesting and very magical of sorts.
You know, what's interesting, your journey started the same way mine did. When I was 11 or 12 years old, I had my first out-of-body, and I've never been able to duplicate it since, Erica, but it set me on the same path that I've been following now all my life, and I can't stop, and it's probably happening to you, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those things that just started happening. And, you know, some people believe that this is a gift and that, you know, that we're able to better understand it. And I really do believe that all of us, like yourself and myself, we're all able to kind of connect with this side. It's just a matter of opening those doors. So,
well, you're going to have to tell us some stories about the Queen Mary. But tell us a little bit about how you found the ship, or did the ship find you?
You know, it's really quite interesting if it's a coincidence or for a reason, but I found myself on the ship as an invite to a comedy show, and one thing led to another, and I wound up meeting with the vice president, talking about my experiences aboard the ship, and through our conversation, I decided that he would like to put together these tours.
Okay, now tell us exactly what you do.
Well, let's see. Recently, there's been a lot of different hats that I wear, but mostly I take people on a Friday night and Saturday night and now Sunday nights. We start out with dinner, and then we go through the ship, and I talk to them a little bit about the spirits, as well as help teach them how to better understand what's going on via some scientific gadgets as well as within themselves. So it's quite fascinating.
Now, this is a monster ship, over 1,000 feet long. Her maiden voyage was in 1936, so yeah. 70 years ago. I mean, does the ship look old and decrepit, or have they modernized it?
No, they've actually kept it up to date very nicely. It's still, some of the areas are still in original form, however, it's been restored. And then there's some areas that they've utilized for banquet rooms and so forth. For instance, one of the boiler rooms has been turned into an exhibit hall where they do a lot of conventions and different things like that.
How haunted, Erica, is the Queen Mary?
Well, you know, I guess it's all a matter of opinion. However, we were recently voted the most haunted ship or place in the entire world by a television show that has a lot of background in paranormal investigating, and that television show is Most Haunted, which is based out of England. So that was quite an honor. They came and did a huge investigation. So I believe the ship is incredibly haunted. In my experience and dealings with other places and so forth, it seems to me that you can go pretty much anywhere on the ship and have some type of experience.
A lot of people might not know this, but the Queen Mary had war service from March of 1940 through September of 1946. She carried well over, back and forth, 765,000 military personnel. She sailed a total of nearly a half a million miles, carried up to 15,000 troops at one time. She transported Winston Churchill three times to conferences.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. But did anyone die? And I guess in order for a ship like this to be haunted, people must have died on this ship, right?
Yes, they did, actually. Well, we have 52 recorded deaths aboard the Queen Mary as just the Queen Mary. And then in regards to the Grey Ghost Era, which is what you were just talking about, the military time, you know, it was a hospital ship during that time. As well as they did a shuttle for war brides and their children. They carried the troops, and they also carried prisoners of war. So there was quite a bit of tragedy left behind from that experience, as well as there was an accident during that Grey Ghost era where the Grey Ghost collided with another ship called the Kurosawa and broke the Kurosawa completely in half, and it sank in a matter of minutes, and it killed over 300 people from that experience. Aboard the Kurosawa, no one from the Queen Mary, to my knowledge, was killed. But certainly, there was a lot of deaths and tragedy left behind.
Now, have you toured and wandered the entire ship? Again, it's 1,000 feet long. Have you been all over the place?
I have. There are a few nooks and crannies that I haven't actually been to. But as I continue my search and for the knowledge and understanding as to what's going on there, I hope to be able to explore every single step.
Is there an area on the ship, Erica, that I guess you would call it a hot spot for paranormal activity, much more than other areas?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Historically, the first class swimming pool seems to be the most most interested spot for paranormal people to try and understand. And I find that room definitely has some interesting qualities to it. However, there are a few other areas on this ship that I feel have just as much, if not a little bit more, to connect with and understand. And so I would say that the engine room certainly has a lot going on and seems to have a lot of audible experiences, as well as the cargo hold, and even into the boiler room. So those are the three that I'm kind of most connected with. But like I said, the ship is just so filled with activity that depending on you and your personal experiences, you might find one room more intense than another.
What kind of stories have people who've been on the ship, what have they said? What have you heard?
Well, goodness, there's so many stories. A lot of guests report different things that happen within their rooms, lots of bumps and things like that in the middle of the night. There is a famous spirit by the name of Jackie. She's a little girl that likes to visit the first class swimming pool as well as some of the other areas of the ship. There is the room B340 that apparently many guests used to have a lot of poltergeist-type activity, so much so that they closed that room off to the public. Let's see. I could tell you stories upon stories.
tell me about the little girl. For some reason, Erica, children ghost stories freak me out. So tell me about this and what might have happened to her.
Okay, well, let's see. Apparently, now she's not one that I've actually connected with on my own. I've met her a couple of times, and she seems to be very playful. But
Now wait a minute. What do you mean you've met her a couple of times?
You know, it's interesting because I am open to receiving any type of communication that any of the spirits are needing to share, and I don't actively seek out communication. However, I am able to understand what's going on and then communicate back. And with Jackie, she's one that I guess felt that she was already understood to some degree, but she's very playful, so she likes to play a game of almost like hide and seek. She calls it peeky-boo. but she enjoys that very much in the first class swimming pool, and for whatever reason, she's just very playful. But from what I understand, she drowned in one of the pools.
Oh.
Yeah. And so she just kind of comes about here and there.
Now, is her visitation a scary one for some people?
No, I actually, everybody that I've ever met that's ever had any type of experience with her has always had it be very lighthearted, and she, you'll hear giggles and things like that. I mean, obviously, if you're not prepared to have an experience, it might be a little frightening, just because it's the unknown. But she certainly doesn't project any type of energy that would want to scare somebody.
Now, have you ever had, though, a real difficult experience on the tour?
Actually, we did. In the boiler room, I bring guests into a little room that's within the boiler room that seems to be very intensely active. And I have met a spirit by the name of Henry down in that area.
Henry. Okay. What
and
happened?
He passed away from a boiler accident, and basically he was scalded to death. And so he likes to pop up here and there, and we have brought a few guests into this green room area where the activity seems to be stronger, and one of the women on the tour was actually touched along the side of her neck, so much so that when she came out of there, we kind of looked at it closely, and there was a red handprint in the side of her neck. And it was very terrifying to her, as well as all the people on the tour, because it was kind of unexpected. You know, I always tell people on the tours that to be prepared for the unexpected, but not to expect, because you just never know what's going to happen.
Erica, have any of these spirits or entities been particularly mean or violent to anybody, other than, let's say, a handprint on the side of the cheek and the neck?
No. I haven't encountered anything of that nature aboard the ship. It seems, in general, that it's all very... I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, but not aggressive by any stretch of the means.
I have interviewed some people who are ghost investigators, mm-hmm. and they have picked up some what we call EVP sounds,
yes.
from the Queen Mary.
Yes.
And they might have had, if I remember, the little girl that was on.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's kind of chilling when you hear it. Not scary, but mm-hmm. chilling, because you just try to imagine what might have happened a long, long time ago to this little child, as you said. What do some of the employees who work on the Queen Mary say about it? I mean, do they sometimes, you know, they're doing their responsibilities and all of a sudden a ghost walks past them?
Strangely enough, I have heard that, yes. I like to talk to as many employees as I can and just kind of stay in touch with everybody's experiences, especially the ones that work graveyard, because it seems that the energy is much stronger between the hours of midnight and 4. And it's interesting because it seems security especially has the most interesting experiences, but I have heard many times that people have felt a presence behind them, and when they turn around, you know, they'll see just real quickly, there's been a woman that likes to pass through the accounting department, and there is
the accounting department?
yeah, she's just checking in, I suppose. But and then there's been a few reports of some different little girls that security has seen in the back end of the ship area near the Royal Theater and propeller box and so forth. So.
This may be the most haunted ship in existence today.
It's very possible. And, you know, I've had a lot of people ask me why. And I think that one of the reasons why we're able to have such access to the activity is because it's been turned into a hotel. Whereas most battleships that have been through the military, once they're done, they rest, and it's not typically open to the public for people to stay on as a hotel.
And she doesn't cruise. She just stays docked now, right?
Yes, she is. She's permanently docked. So no more sailing for her.
Okay, so it is a hotel. We're going to take a break here, Erica, and come back and take phone calls. But it is a hotel. How many rooms does it have?
I believe we have 365.
365. Yeah. Is there any particular room that people try to stay out of?
No, just B340. That's been closed off to the public. But
yeah, let's talk about that again when we come back. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines. Our guest is Erica Frost. We're talking about the haunted Queen Mary I'm George Norrie. We'll be back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, if you're interested in streamlinking for just pennies a day to enable you to podcast, to download classic programs, and just to have some fun, just go to the coasttocoastam.com website, and it'll tell you how you can join and become a member of Streamlink. And every 2 weeks or so, we have special guests or myself pop in to do a chat right over the computer on a Tuesday night. So we do that as well. It's called Streamlink. It's from Coast to Coast AM. So, Erica, if I ever check into the Queen Mary, I'm sure they're going to give me room B30, 340, aren't they?
Well, you can try.
All right, tell us a little bit more. Why have they closed that room off to the public?
Well, apparently because many of the guests would complain of various different things happening, such as water being turned on and off, hangers being thrown around in the closets, making loud, violent noises, and then sheets being pulled off of them while they were sleeping. And so rather than having to keep moving people all the time, they just decided to shut it down.
Now, if people go to the Queen Mary, is it a guarantee that they're going to have a ghostly experience?
nothing in life is a guarantee. But I think that of all places in the world to have a paranormal experience, you're more likely to certainly have something happen aboard the Queen Mary. But no guarantees.
Hey, before we take some calls, tell me a little bit more about your card readings and how that works.
Basically, I'm an intuit, and I do spiritual guidance through my card readings. And I just help people understand the path that they are on and help them find direction and answers to some of their questions.
Okay, let's go and take some calls for you. Okay. We'll go to first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. First-time caller, long-time listener. My name is Bonnie.
Where are you, Bonnie?
Tell Ian that I'm calling from Big Orange Country.
Ah, it's got to be Tennessee.
You got it.
Okay,
Erica,
go ahead.
Yes. My question is kind of twofold, and I'll be as brief. I'm a little nervous, George, forgive me. And we've got spring, and I'm blooming, and I'm not crying. I got allergies. But I didn't get that room number that you closed because I was on hold, but I think I was in that room when I was on the Queen Mary. My father recently departed 2004 after 9 years of Alzheimer's. He was in Paris. He was a military officer. He was in London and then was in the landing at Normandy and was in Paris the day it was liberated from the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And I get a little emotional here because he had Alzheimer's at the end of his life, and I took the night shift, which is when I joined the Coast to Coast family. And my question, Erica, is this. I stayed on the Queen Mary shortly after, and when the Grey Goose was there at Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
And I've been in the hotel business, and I am an intuit myself, and mm-hmm. I must have been in that room that's closed. My father had not told me a lot of the things that had happened to him in World War II, but I parlez le français un petit peu, second the Dutch 9, and English was my third language.
Okay.
My question is, for those people, he was returning to the States on the Queen Mary, I think in the Mediterranean, when it was a return troop ship or hospital ship.
Okay.
Is that possible, or is my timing off? I'm not sure. But anyway, he passed in 04. I was on the Queen Mary sometime, late 70s, 80s, when it first opened as a hotel.
Okay.
And then the last 9 years of my dad's life, when I took the night shift in the middle of the night, and I would hold his hand and we would talk, and he would tell me things.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me some of the horrors that he went through in the war and how excited he was to be in Paris, and then how devastated he was to be on Queen Mary and be told they were going to the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
But the war ended, and he came home.
Mm-hmm.
And my question, Erica, is would I have felt all of that on the Queen Mary intuitively? And then the last part of my question is, excuse me, George, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're doing fine, Bonnie.
I'm a little nervous and I couldn't get any water. I took a bunch of Benadryl for our spring allergies here. Getting to be dogwood season. The end of the story is, unbeknownst to me, my husband, who had survived Vietnam and the first cap to Fort Hood, and you can tell I'm an Army officer, brat, and wife. My husband was a lieutenant colonel, and he died in October of 2004, 2 days before our 34th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So I buried my two best friends, my mm-hmm. father and then my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two white vanilla candles burning tonight. And I just wondered, would I have felt all of that like precognition or something? What do you think, George? What do you think, Erica? I'm open, and I can either listen here or take the answer offline.
Okay, I'll let you listen offline, Bonnie. I got to tell you, Bonnie and Erica, I think it's very possible she could have felt something.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. With all the connection that you have to all of this, it wouldn't surprise me at all that you felt it.
People have an ability when they're connected to people,
mm-hmm.
Whether it is a ghostly apparition after the fact or before events happen. I have a friend who just died a couple days ago of a heart attack.
Mm.
And the last time I had seen him when I was in St. Louis was I think the first week of January or so, because I came back to Los Angeles on January 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw him about 5 days before that. And I just had a strange feeling. I mean, it was almost as if it's almost as if his spirit, which was still in his body, was trying to communicate with me to tell me, hey, we're leaving soon.
Yeah.
And I think in Bonnie's particular case, I think she had that connection too. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of people who have that connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. Many times after our loved ones leave, they do reach out to us as a final farewell. And even on their way out, they have the ability to communicate with us, and truly it's up to us whether or not we're able to connect with that and receive that information. So they don't just leave without saying goodbye.
Let's go to our international line. You're on the air with us, and where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm Toronto.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, I came to Canada on that ship 50 years ago.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, you know, we were originally scheduled on an old tub they called the Franconia. And 3 days out at sea, the engines broke down, you know? And so we limped back to port. And my mom told me, she looked up at this giant thing which we parked next to. Humongous ship, the Queen Mary. Yeah, and, you know, unbelievable.
So how long were you on the ship?
Oh, I guess I'm not sure how long the trip took, you know. I can't say.
Did you see any ghosts?
I was only 7 years old.
Oh, you're just a little guy. Okay, no, nothing haunting, though, for you, huh?
No, but it was all right. You know, running around, crazy, up and down the elevators. They had everything on that ship. Pools,
yeah.
Movie theaters, you know.
They do.
Erica, do they still have theaters and things like that on the ship?
No movie theaters, although we do have a Royal Theater, which isn't part of the original ship. It's been actually added where the second-class swimming pool area was. Not too far from there, they built the Royal Theater, but no movie theaters.
I would guess the kitchen has got to be huge.
The original kitchen, and then they've added a few other kitchens to accommodate some of the other restaurants that they have aboard the ship.
Are there some employees, Erica, who don't want to be in certain spots by themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few in, you know, security has to do sweeps of the ship oftentimes by themselves and oftentimes really late at night. And many of them who just start out, you know, have to kind of work the courage up to wander the ship alone.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, my name is Debbie, and I'm calling from Roland Heights, California. And I was just on the Queen Mary January for my husband. He had a conference dinner there. And I was on the where the Queen's Parlor is. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Okay, anyway, I went to the ladies' room, and when I was in there, I felt like there was something in there.
Yeah, yeah. That you said the Queen's Salon?
The Queen's Parlor.
Oh, the Queen's Parlor.
Yeah.
That's near the towards the front of the ship.
Right.
That is an interesting restroom. It's not too far from the first class swimming pool, and we've had a lot of guests feel some type of something in there. No reports of anybody seeing anything as of yet, but you just never know.
Yeah, no, I didn't see anything. I just went in there. I felt kind of like this, almost like a shaking motion. When I came out, I asked my husband, I said, was there an earthquake or something? And he said, no. And I said, well, I felt something moving in there. I felt like I was moving in there, something in there. And he says, well, the cement or the ship is in the cement, so it's not moving, because I was thinking, well, maybe it's a ship moving.
No, you know, that's very true. We are docked very securely, and what I believe happened to you is that, and from what I understand, scientifically speaking, the paranormal activity like to draw from our electromagnetic energy within our bodies, and a lot of times when there's a lot of activity around, they start pulling from our electromagnetic energy, and it kind of shifts within our body, and it can cause kind of that motion feeling, or sometimes people get dizzy or feel like the ship is moving. And so a lot of times guests that come through on the tours that I give, I explain to them that, you know, be prepared for that kind of transfer of electromagnetic energy from yours to them.
That was really a strange sensation. I never had anything like that happen before. I was just...
Yeah. Oh.
Well, they took her away, Erica.
I guess so.
They got her. Tell me about a website. What's available for people who want updates on the Queen Mary?
Well, there's a couple different ones. There's queenmary.com, which is a real easy one to remember. And then there's also my personal website, which is ericafrost.com, and it's spelled with a K. So both of those will keep you updated as far as any type of paranormal activity. We're opening up a paranormal research center, which I am the director of, and we'll be bringing lots of new and wonderful activities in regards to understanding the paranormal through that center. So both of those will keep you updated.
You must love your job.
I do. Very much. I feel very fortunate.
Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I had a question for Erica.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I was just wondering if she had ever been possessed by any of the ghosts or spirits while being on the ship, or if anyone had ever reported such.
Oh. Any possessions there, Erica?
No, I have not been, and nor have I heard of any possessions aboard this ship. I've heard of a few psychic and mediums coming in and channeling some of the energies and spirits aboard this ship, but it's all been something that they had control over. No possessions.
Have you ever seen anybody leave the ship just shaking?
Yeah, the woman that got touched on the side of the neck in my tour did.
That got to her.
Yeah.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name is Joe, and I'm calling from Chandler, Arizona. And
oh,
hi. My question for Erica is, have you ever heard of any instances where a spirit from, let's say, the Queen Mary went over to the Titanic or vice versa?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, interestingly enough, we have the Titanic exhibit aboard our ship right now. And there doesn't seem to be any type of crossover of spirits, but there certainly seems to be some type of struggle, or for lack of a better term, a turf war, within the area that the Titanic exhibit is going on. The paranormal activity has been heightened even to some poltergeist type activity. So that's very interesting. But no actual spiritual change.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Appreciate you being on the program. West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. My name's Eric. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I took a tour in 1988 on the Queen Mary.
Uh-huh.
They took us down to the third level where the pool was at, the private pool.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I was the last person in that tour. I feel a little tug on the back of my shirt, and I saw a little girl with a doll in her hand.
Uh-huh.
And then I turned around and spoke to the tour guy, and said, well, this little girl's behind me. I don't see her mother. And they all looked back towards me, and the little girl was not there.
Have you ever had any reports of a little girl with a doll in her hand, Erica?
Yes, that would be Jackie. And she does that oftentimes.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I guess, has anybody ever tried to convince these spirits to move on?
You know, that's a good question. And I don't know for certain if any of the other psychics or mediums that have come aboard have tried to do any of that. But certainly I'd like to be able to help them if I can. I think that it's a long process, and it might be a little more involved than just with one person. I think it's going to take a lot to help them move on, but it would be nice to help them find their ultimate path.
Let's go to our final caller, our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. I'm George. You there?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. We only have about a minute for you. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to know, listen, I'm an investigator myself, and I've been, I just wondered what was the first time it was like when she saw Jackie on the boat?
What was it for me? When was it like?
First time, yeah.
The first time. It was actually very, very magical, because I heard her laughing, and she was just so playful that it felt like everything was okay. So it wasn't scary or startling or unnerving by any stretch of the means.
Yeah, I usually go to the Willard Library in Evansville a lot and seen the Gray Lady and stuff like that. But it's just, I mean, it's fascinating. If I could do this and make a living at it, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Well, Erica, you found a way to do it.
Yeah, I guess I got very fortunate.
Well, I got to tell you, it sounds. Do you need reservations, or can you just show up?
No, it's better to have reservations, and you'd want to call Sir Winston's restaurant, which I have the telephone number if you'd like it, but you do need to make reservations in advance.
ericafrost.com with a K. That's the main website, right?
Yes.
Okay, and very quickly then, if anybody is in the Los Angeles area and they do want that phone number, what is it?
It's 562-499-1657.
Okay, and I'm sure they can get that off your website, too?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thanks, Erica. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast.
Oh, thank you so much, George. It was my pleasure.
Now we're going ghost hunting with Joshua Warren in just a moment. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.